Where U.S. Route 97 hits the 5 in Siskiyou County, there's Weed, a small California town near Mount Shasta. Today, the population hovers around 3,000 souls, with several thousand more living just beyond city limits. There's a plan afoot to make these communities safer and more resilient when something bad happens. Consider the potentially active volcano 10 or so miles away, or recall the Bowles fire that swept across the town in 2014, damaging and destroying over 200 structures in a matter of hours, including the high school, the elementary school, a mill site, and many homes and businesses. Our guest today is an organizer for a group called Resilience Weed. It's an initiative that's all about being better prepared for the worst, whenever and however it strikes. Bonnie Kubowitz is the executive director of Great Northern Services, a driving force behind Resilience Weed, and she's our guest today. Welcome to the program, Bonnie.
Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for being here. Before we dive into the project Resilience Weed, could you tell us more about your organization, Great Northern Services? What kinds of services do you provide?
We provide services to the entire county of Siskiyou, and they range everything from helping businesses with capital to helping low-income homeowners with their heating and weatherization of their house. We subsidize and help people with their redoing their homes to make them more livable. Mm-hmm. And we also are huge in the food industry, helping people who can't quite make it with food. So it runs a gamut. We also do case studies with HIV and AIDS awareness and participation in that.
So this group, Resilience Weed, there's a number of folks involved. How did it get started? What was the impetus?
Well, it really started at the state level, and it started with he is now retired, but he was the section chief for the state of California for community development block grants. It's normally called CDBG. And what we have found is that resilience planning is really well known in urban areas, but there is actually no format. There is no model for, you know, rural communities, communities that actually have a very difficult time financially. So Thomas Brandenberry, who is the section chief, felt that what we needed to do with Weed was to work out a resilience planning with this community, and hopefully in that, we will make a model that can be replicated throughout rural communities. We've also seen disasters just this year in Middletown, which is very small also, and almost the entire city was destroyed. So this model is really going to help. And my piece on it, I was hired through the City of Weed as a nonprofit entity. Because we can do this, we know the communities, we can hold the meetings, the community meetings, we know all the leaders, and we can get everybody together to help us with this planning process so that Weed can not only survive any type of a disaster, but they can continue to function and thrive. And particularly, we need to plan for the poor and the vulnerable. So that's what this model that we're developing here in Weed is about.
We're talking with Bonnie Kubowitz, Executive Director of Great Northern Services and part of the Resilience Weed Group. You can join this discussion at 800-838-3760 or send us an email at jx@jeffnet.org. Bonnie, you're just talking about resilience planning. It's been a topic, a theme for this whole hour, actually. And you mentioned it's something more well-known in urban or densely populated areas. How did Weed population officially, just under 3,000, become the staging ground for a more rural experiment in resilience planning?
Well, as I said, it started from the state level. Weed you know, we did have a fire, and it happened very fast, and the entire city staff and city hall was without any type of electricity or anything for 10 days following that fire. Mm. So we contacted, or the city did contact the state. We received a lot of help in that, and really it's on-the-spot help. But when you take a look at long-term and how do you recover from that and how do you plan for that, there was a lot of conversation that was happening. And through that, we contacted the state, and the state was very interested in coming up with something that would help rural communities. So that's how it all started. Also, I believe that we had a water tower that was destroyed in that fire. So if another fire happened, we were not prepared to be able to put that fire out. So this planning is really necessary, specifically in rural communities.
And the planning process is being undertaken by the City of Weed Resilience Team, is that correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And who is this team, and what are they up to now?
Okay, so there is an overall team that we meet every 2 weeks, and we talk about this. And this is the city administrator, the finance director for the City of Weed. We also have the planning department from the county, and also the county community director. There is a board of supervisors for the District 3 of Weed. And then we have City of Weed Planning, myself, and I hired a consultant to actually take all of our data and write it into a plan.
What kinds of data do you have, or have you been collecting?
We have. The first thing that we did was we did a survey. Two different types. One of them was for residents of the community, and another one was for leaders. And that was every leader that we could think of, from the colleges to the hospitals to fire safe councils. I mean, you name it. We took a look at large businesses, the Forest Service, and so we asked different questions for each of those groups. That has been completed, and the data on that is being put into an analysis, and we'll be showing that at our January 6th meeting that we're having.
Oh, I see. So some chance for public participation coming up, that community meeting on January 6th in
exactly.
Weed at the Sons of Italy. We'll give that information again in just a few minutes. I want to focus in on talking about, you mentioned that City Hall, these places that were out of power for 10 days after the fire in 2014. What are some of the infrastructure factors, or other factors even, that kind of contribute to Weed's lack of resilience now when it comes to a disaster striking?
Yeah, well, I would have to say the one thing about Weed is that it's extremely resilient, and that it has bounced back within 1 year. The City of Weed and the police department now have backup generators.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's kind of a learning lesson for small communities. You never think that this is really going to happen. The facts are, from Cal Fire, that in 120 minutes, the City of Weed, it actually destroyed 154 structures. So it happened very, very fast. We could have lost the whole town.
Mm-hmm.
So
just a couple hours there.
Yeah. So, but right now we have 55 building permits. And so although we lost a lot of the community, a lot of the community is coming back and rebuilding. So although we think that Weed isn't resilient at the time, it certainly is. And we have a lot to thank for, not only for the city itself, but the communities around us. That's the beauty of being in a rural community where everybody is helping. Everybody came out to help. And so I think that you necessarily don't find that in urban areas.
Mm-hmm. Like after the fire, how people just took the displaced people into their homes.
Yes.
Put them up, and there wasn't a shelter or really a big pressing need for one?
There wasn't. There was, I think there was 750 families, people that were actually displaced. And only about 17 ended up in the shelter in Wairika. Everybody else opened their arms and their homes and just had people come and stay with them. So it is noteworthy to know that rural communities can be resilient.
It strikes me a lot of plans of this ilk, and I do want to continue on with, you know, the next steps and everything, but the sphere of influence that y'all have drawn around Weed and a surrounding area not too much bigger, what is the rationale, I guess, for keeping it so hyper-local? Why not, say, come up with a resilient Siskiyou County plan where you would include Weed and Mount Shasta and all these places? Is there a strategic benefit to making it hyper-local?
I think that what you're going to find, that's why the county is so involved in this process and watching this process, because you're exactly right. What we're taking a look at is, yes, it needs to be a planning process for the cities, but there's a bigger picture here, and it's the counties. And in talking with, we did have one of our leader meetings, and just communication with the Shasta Trinity National Forest and their planning process to be talked with the county planners and developers. And so there is a lot more open communication, the need to work together. Everybody has some type of a disaster plan. The schools do, the hospitals do, but we're not talking about it together as a group, and that's what this is going to do. And the county is watching and participating in this so that they can take this to the next level.
We're talking with Bonnie Kubowitz, Executive Director of Great Northern Services in Siskiyou County. Still time to get your questions and comments on the air, 800-838-3760, or email us jx@jeffnet.org. Bonnie, in this planning process for making a more resilient community around Weed, you guys have laid out some steps for where you're going and where you want to be at the end of them. As I understand it, you've just sort of collected data from a survey tool. You mentioned earlier you surveyed leaders, people identified as leaders in the community, and also citizens, everyday folks. Can you talk more about what this survey tool looked like and what you hope to find out from it?
Well, yeah, the survey, we had 8 categories for each one. Now, for the leaders, we took a look at disaster awareness, how prepared are we for disasters, and we're not just talking about fire. We're talking about floods. We're talking about, we're right on the I-5. What if we're cut off? What happens? So we're looking at preparedness, structural protection in regards to our utility services. We also look at what disaster plans are in effect, what is the capacity for first responders, and the capacity for the emergency medical. So we asked
the medical situation in terms of hospitals or access to care in a crisis?
Exactly.
It's not good. It's minimal as it stands, or
well, I will tell you as soon as I see the analysis.
Okay.
But we also then took a different look from the community standpoint. How involved are they? How resourceful are they? How diverse are they? How is the health and what kind of social support do they have? Are there local leaders here? How stable is the community? and looking at how they feel support from service support and government. So we're anxious to see the analysis of that, because once we identify what the problems are and determine the vulnerability, then we can really start looking at our options, evaluate the risks, and, you know, then we'll have that as a plan, and then we can take a look at implementation.
So the plan sounds like we're very much in the works. There's a plan to make a plan at this point.
Very well said.
Yeah. And so another step in that process is coming up, right? You mentioned a community meeting just a couple days out. What do you hope to accomplish there? It's on Wednesday, January 6th at Sons of Italy Hall from 5 to 8 p.m. in Weed. Everyone welcome. Snacks and soft drinks will be available. But what are the objectives, Bonnie, for this plan to make a plan?
Right. At this point, what we're looking at from the community, I think they have a really unique opportunity to create a very strong community that's devoted to, you know, their families, to businesses, to be really working together under whatever happens. And then taking a look at how that can go on for generations to come. The one thing you will find about Weed itself as a community is that they're very much family-oriented and long traditions. And so it's going to work really well to have them come together with their vision.
Yeah, it sounds like just bringing people together in a room and a dialogue is a great first step towards being more prepared for a potential disaster. We've been talking with Bonnie Kubowitz, Executive Director of Great Northern Services, involved with the Resilience Weed Project. Bonnie, thanks so much for being a guest today.
No problem. Thank you.
All righty.